I've been asked to speak a few words about my godbrother, Sri Bhakti Raghav Swami Maharaj, so I'll do so. I first met him sometime in the latter half of the 1970s, when I was arriving in Mayapur for the Mayapur festival. Maybe that was 1976, the first time I came to India. And that would be the first time that many devotees met him, because he was at the reception. That means newcomers, he would take their names and allot their rooms and like this. He was doing that. So immediately, just within a few seconds of interaction, this devotee, who I didn't know at the time, obviously, it immediately commands your respect as being a very serious devotee. That was first impression, very serious devotee. And gradually, as I got to know him, as I moved to India with the idea of staying I came in 1976, then again I went back to Britain. And I came in 1977 with the idea of staying, which more or less I have ever since. I gradually got to know him in the next few years, and pretty, not just myself, but it's just obvious from his personality, got to recognize him as a quiet, steady devotee, determined, but humble. Naturally austere, no inclination for material enjoyment or comfort, very pakka sadhana, up every morning. I remember for some time I was staying at ISKCON, Calcutta, and during the evening arati, not so many devotees, well, there was a time when not so many devotees were attending, but he would always be there, and he would often be there at the last arati and sometimes at the midday arati, standing right in front, not right at the front, but not blocking at the front, but in the division. So there's a division between the altars of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai were on that side at the time, and Jagannath Subhadra Baladev. So he'd stand in the middle so he didn't block anyone's view, standing sideways so he didn't have his back to Srila Prabhupada, and he'd be there for the arati. So that regularly, very impressive that he had such a taste to do so. Not ambitious or political. I never heard him praise himself or speak badly of others. He didn't speak prajalpa, doesn't speak, has a good sense of humor, but no prajalpa. Maybe he's not so much recognized because he's not very assertive in the sense that he doesn't push himself forward. In Kali Yuga, if you bang a big drum and make lots of propaganda, I'm a pure devotee, I've done so many big things, and people tend to believe it, whether it's true or not. Yeah, and you may be big by gathering many followers like that, but real sadhus are rarely recognized. Here's a little anecdote. Krishna Kirtan Das in Bangladesh, who recently passed away, he sometimes used to say in his public lectures to hundreds and thousands of people that he sometimes gave this example of Bhakti Raghava Swami, Raghava Pandit Brahmachari at the time, who once Krishna Kirtan asked him, why do you always walk everywhere in bare feet, with no shoes? And he replied, Raghava Pandit Brahmachari replied that, well, you don't walk in the temple, you don't go in the temple with shoes on, do you? No. Well, to me, the whole of Bengal is just like a temple. Actually, we should see like that. Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Tarhoi Braja Bhumi Bash. Narottam Thakur says that whoever sees the land of West Bengal, the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, as being fully spiritual, such a person already lives in Vrindavan. Another major event, which was in one sense a watershed in his life. Oh, first of all, I'll tell one thing, a little anecdote, which he probably forgot. Once in Mayapur, this is when he still had two legs. Now he has one leg physically. But the one leg, he used to have two legs, but he was in Mayapur. Mayapur was his base for many years. And one evening there was an attack by dacoits, armed thieves, who maybe had the idea that the deities were made of gold or whatever, so they wanted to come and steal them. So hearing this, Raghava Pandit Brahmachari, he went there as fast as he could to the temple. Now, he couldn't run because he had one good leg and one leg which was spindly and didn't work properly, although he could walk without crutches at that time. He went as fast as he could, even though some of the big devotees who were present there simply locked themselves in their room out of fear. But he went, what can he do? Being not very strong-bodied, being physically disadvantaged, as we say nowadays. But anyway, he ran there to try to do what he could to defend the deities. So when he went there, a bomb was thrown at him, and eventually when more devotees came, the thieves ran away. They took away small deities of who had been worshipped by Srila Prabhupada, Radha Govinda. And they found Raghava Pandit Brahmachari sitting in a pool of blood, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His leg had been blown off. It was the one which didn't work properly. And that's why you see him with crutches. Now, he wouldn't want me to say all these things because he's not interested in his body, but I'm saying it anyway. One time before this incident, I was in Mayapur when a young Western brahmachari who was just visiting India at the time, I was with Maharaj when this young brahmachari came up, and I don't know, maybe something, exactly why and how we were talking together, I don't know, but this brahmachari asked about his, why is your leg like that? And Raghava Pandit Prabhu at the time said, it doesn't matter. And the brahmachari kept, I'm just curious to know. And he wouldn't reply. He didn't want to talk about it. I'd never asked him. I'd never asked Raghava Pandit Brahmachari, why is your leg like that? And eventually the Raghava, he looked at me and we laughed together. Why is he so interested about this? That it's just of no real consequence whatsoever. So you can see he's very detached from his body. I never asked him, and nor did he reply, nor did I ever know, nor does it matter. Not very much known is that the Nam Hatha, which is based at ISKCON Mayapur and spread all over Bengal in particular and in Orissa, the actual field work of spearheading that was done by Raghava Pandit Das Brahmachari. I'm not sure exactly when he took sannyas, before or after starting that program. I think after starting that program, on the inspiration of Bhaktivinoda Thakur via Jayapataka Maharaj, but actually organizing it, going out in the field, meeting people, cultivating them, bringing them up in Krishna consciousness. That was the work which he did. He got it started. And what happened, I remember Jayapataka Maharaj said to me once that people are very impressed that they're living in some remote village in Bengal or Orissa, and they've written a letter to ISKCON Mayapur, a postcard saying, I'm interested, want to know more. And then this Western sadhu who has given up all the comforts of his Western way of life, and India at that time was much more austere in so many ways than it is now. He'd given up all comforts to travel by public transport, bus and whatever, walking, even though he can't walk properly, to come to our remote village because I'm interested. And I became very, very impressed by this. And naturally gave them a lot of inspiration in Krishna consciousness. Another little known fact is that the youth preaching in India, which has so much blossomed over the last few decades, that was actually started by him. After he came out of the Namhatta, he started talking about preaching to the youth and making brahmacharis and devotees in this way. And at that time, no one had the... You have to remember, at that time, ISKCON had much less centers, much less devotees. It was still mostly Western devotees. When I first came to India, in the temples, it was the vast majority of devotees were Westerners. Just around the time that Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, many Bengalis started to join in Mayapur. Still nothing like the numbers we have now, but many started to join. But they were mostly not from such an educated background. Not that we have anything against those who are less educated, but generally those who are more educated can take up the preaching on a different plane than those who are less so. So we're interested in bringing in such people. Now, at that time, when he started going, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj started going to colleges in Calcutta, preaching, no one had thought of it. We didn't think of it. We didn't think it was possible, because you see the young people, they seem to be very materialistic, going away from religion. Actually, the present generation, or for the last couple of decades, the young educated youth in India, many of them are inclined to religion, but at that time, and especially in Bengal, it wasn't so. The Communist Party were at the height of their power. The general attitude was very atheistic and materialistic, and so it seemed. But then when he started going to the colleges, he found that there are young people who are interested, and not only boys did he bring in, but young girls also, and some of them have been devotees since that time. I can think of those who are young boys and young girls at that time who were brought into Krishna consciousness by his efforts. So he spearheaded that. And another strong wish of Srila Prabhupada, which he's now presently very, very much involved in, we can say it's the focus of his efforts to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's dream. I hope those of you who are his disciples know very well is that he's very much involved in the effort to revive Varnashram Dharma, and he personally puts a lot of emphasis on cow protection. These, all this goes together, which I'm very much applaud and support him for this, as I'm also very much concerned about this. And we, all the followers of Srila Prabhupada, obviously should be. Obvious, it seems obvious to us, but doesn't seem obvious to everyone. So he's doing a lot of work in that field. And we can only pray that his efforts yield success. Of course, re-establishing Varnashram Dharma, establishing Krishna consciousness in the world, it doesn't just happen like that. It's going to take time. So I request his disciples to take his mission, which is Srila Prabhupada's mission, especially this Varnashram cow protection, take it very seriously, carry it forward. Obviously, Maharaj is not going to be with you forever. When bodies reach the age that his has reached, or mine has reached, or any of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada has reached, we can't expect them to be around very much longer. So take his mission to heart and make plans to continue. I feel very fortunate to have the grace, have to be graced by the association of Bhakti Maharaj, Bhakti Raga Maharaj in this life, and the association of so many saintly people by the mercy of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha.